I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis, and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Shad Goswami Prabhu Ki. So today we're going on to the fourth wave, Vyabhichari Bhava, Transient Ecstasies, chapter 29 of Nectar of Devotion, page 233. But I thought that just before we go into that, seeing there has been some interest expressed in the subject of Mahabhava. And of course we've touched on it to some degree, but I thought that just perhaps for the sake of clarity we could say something, or maybe just read something even from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Ujjvala Neelamani, where it all comes out very clearly. So first of all, he explains there are two types of Mahabhava, Rudha and Adi Rudha. Chaitanya Charitamrita says Rudha means advanced, and these ecstasies are found among the queens of Dwaraka, and Adi Rudha means highly advanced. These ecstasies are found amongst the gopis. An example is given of Rudha Mahabhava. He says, even while experiencing the happiness of Krishna's association, one sometimes feels greatly aggrieved due to apprehension of some imaginary malady or distress. Then also, when one cannot tolerate not to see Krishna, even for the brief moment that the eyes involuntarily blink, these symptoms or conditions indicate the presence of Rudha Mahabhava. Then there's the description of Adi Rudha Mahabhava, which is only there. Well, it says it's found amongst the gopis. It's found only in Vrindavan, and mainly amongst the gopis, but not only. So let's just read what he says here. When, on account of one's emotional state, one cannot possibly even consider any comparison between the happiness obtained in tens of millions of universes with even a particle of the happiness that is produced by being in Krishna's association, and vice versa, can also not entertain any comparison between the suffering that comes from being bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion with the pain and the misery that comes from being separated from Krishna. The state that generates this happiness and sorrow due to being either united with or separated from Sri Krishna is known as Adi Rudha Mahabhava. Again, there are two divisions of this Adi Rudha Mahabhava, namely Mohana and Madana. So listen carefully to this. There's some quite extraordinary things here. When, due to a particular emotion, ecstatic transformations occur in a blazing state in the body of our heroine, and at the sight of these transformations, Krishna and the gopis are amazed, and given cause to feel greatly alarmed, then that particular emotion can be recognized as mohana. This emotion of mohana can only be found in Radharani's camp, not elsewhere. Mohana is known as mohana when experienced during separation. When this emotion rises up in Srimati Radhika during the agony of separation, then Sri Krishna, though he is lying in the embrace of the queens of Dwaraka, becomes unconscious. By the influence of this emotional state, the entire universe is plunged in grief, and even lower animals such as birds begin to cry. Those are some of the symptoms of mohana. Very frequently, this mohana makes its appearance in Srimati Radharani. One variation of this state is called Divyonmada, which perhaps you've heard of, that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which are found the moods of ecstatic love called Udgurana, Chitra Jalpa, etc. Divyonmada means transcendental madness. When in Mahabhava, unlimited different moods and emotions take their birth, when in even the garlands of forest flowers there is found jealousy, in the untouchables like the Pulindas there is found pride, and the fortunate position of even the Malati creeper who is in union with the tamal tree is being described, that Mahabhava then becomes known as Madana. This is superior to all. That is, it is the topmost pinnacle of love and affection, equal to or above which nothing else is to be found. This is to be found only in Radha, nowhere else. Did you get that last bit? I mean, the particular types of consciousness. When she finds jealousy, the flower garlands are jealous. The untouchables are proud. Malati, creeper, twined around a tamal tree is described in all seriousness as being very fortunate. This is called Madana. Now, the shelters and supports of these various emotions or bhavas is to be ascertained. Now, in the conjugal rasa, there are three levels. Sadharani, Samanjasa, and Samarta, Ratis. Sadharana Rati, Samanjasa Rati, and Samarta Rati. In Kubja, who possesses Sadharani Rati, it's like Radharani but with an S instead of an R. An S instead of an R. So in Kubja, the limit of prema is present. She has ecstasy up to the level of prema. But then beyond that, there's sneha, pranaya, man, rag, anurag, another bhava, and then mahabhava. So she's up to the level of prema. And she's on the level of sadharani rati. In the queens of Dwaraka, who possess samanjasa rati, the limit is anuraga. The progression of the love for Krishna, of the Priya Narama Sakas, is up to Anuraga. The Priya Narama Sakas, one of the main groups of one of the most important groups or most advanced groups. The gopis of Vrindavan possess Samarta Rati up to the limit of Mahabhava. Amongst Subal and some of the other cowherd boys, the limit of their love can be found to also extend up to Mahabhava. but that means Ruda Mahabhava. However, Adi Ruda Mahabhava is only found to be present in Sri Radha's camp, not within any other party group. Then Mohana is found only in Sri Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, and some of their followers. And finally, Madana is existent only in Sri Radha. So, that's a little bit straight out of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur about Mahabhava. So now, I don't know, any comments or questions about that? I don't know if I'll be able to answer them, but... No? Okay. Just for the sake of interest, really. So now on to chapter 29. Today we're going to try to do 29 and 30. It's almost exclusively descriptions of the 33 specific Vyabhichari bhavas. And yesterday we discussed the Sattvika bhavas. There are 8 of them, but we only discussed the first one in specific detail. And then we said you could basically apply the same principles to the others. So we'll do something like that here. In other words, we won't discuss all 33. But I think there'll be time to discuss a few. Okay, so first of all, in our overview book, we have given a quotation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Srila Prabhupada. Actually, it's Madhyalila chapter 23, verse 52. Not 53, and it's from the purport. Prabhupada is translating 3 verses from Ujjvala Nilamani, which also describes Vyabhichari Bhava. And it's a very nice description, very clear. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, there are 33 transitory elements known as Vyabhichari ecstatic emotions. They especially wander about the permanent sentiments as assistants. They are to be known by words, in other words, how the person speaks, by different symptoms seen in the limbs and in other parts of the body, and by the peculiar conditions of the heart, internal considerations also. Because they set in motion the progress of the permanent sentiments, they are specifically called sanchari, or impelling principles. These impelling principles rise up and fall back in the permanent sentiments of ecstatic love, like waves in an ocean of ecstasy. Consequently, they're called Vyabhichari. And so then we say, in other words, Vyabhichari bhavas appear fleetingly, enhancing more permanent ecstasies, rising and falling like waves in an ocean. So that gives, at least in principle, quite a clear idea of what Vyabhichari bhavas are. What do you think? It says they... What does it say? They especially wonder about the permanent sentiments as assistants, and they set in motion the progress of the permanent sentiments. Which are those permanent sentiments? Yes? Yes, the stai bhavas. You will have one main direct stai bhava, either neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, or conjugal, and then you will have some indirect stai bhavas. We're going to talk about this in a couple of days, what they are. anyway, we mentioned before, like chivalry, ghastliness, comedy, compassion. These are some of the indirect, permanent ecstasies. So these Vyabhichari bhavas then, they wander about assisting the Stayi bhavas. And they set in motion the progress of the Stayi bhavas. In other words, they're really enhancing and adding character and depth and, you know, interesting features here and there and interesting touches and so on and so forth. To the basic themes being, of course, in terms of the Stayi bhavas. You may recall from towards the beginning of the course, when we gave that just very simple overview of what each of these five bhavas is, we gave you the example of Mother Yashoda and how one day she's at home, she comes around the corner, sees Krishna. So Krishna acts as the vibhava. She becomes stimulated, so stimulated. Her love is aroused. The Anubhava, she embraces him. Then a Sattvika Bhava follows. She may cry in ecstasy. Then Vyabhichari Bhava, as it says here, wandering about the permanent sentiment and impelling it further, setting it in progress further, that motherly mood, which is the basic mood. And I guess in terms of the indirect Stayi bhavas, perhaps there's a mood of compassion there, something like that. So, impelling those forward in their progress, then Mother Yashoda within her mind, she may, there may be some pride arising. That is one of the Vyabhichari bhavas. I'm the most fortunate woman in the world. So this adds a further element of depth and character to the whole her whole experience. But it appears briefly, and then it may be replaced by something else. Now, Prabhupada, here in this translation that we just read, this first paragraph on page 47, Prabhupada mentions Sanchari. Now, Sanchari Bhava, you may possibly have come across this term before. It is not one of these five bhavas. It's something else. Or, yeah, it's like a specific thing. Sanchari bhava basically means a Vyabhichari bhava, which is not just fleeting. It lasts more sort of longer term. Then it's called Sanchari bhava. But we don't find a specific discussion on Sanchari bhavas because they're just like a developed form of Vyabhichari bhavas. Actually. All right, so now there are 33 of these. Sometimes they're called destructive. And if you look at them, you could understand why. Look at these, at least many of them. They look kind of negative in some cases. Disappointment, lamentation. Well, humility, that's nice, but guilt, fatigue, intoxication, pride, doubt, apprehension, intense emotion, madness, forgetfulness, disease, confusion, death even, laziness, inertness, bashfulness, concealment, remembrance, argumentativeness, anxiety, thoughtfulness, endurance, happiness, eagerness, violence, haughtiness, envy, impudence, dizziness, sleepiness, and alertness. Not all of them, obviously, but quite a few of them, most of them, sound kind of negative from the material point of view. And Prabhupada does use this term destructive in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says they are destructive ecstasies, and if they continue, they're sometimes called sanchari, or continued ecstasies. So let's have a look through some of them. Beginning with disappointment. Now, in our overview book on page 47, we say that there are four causes. Now, this is not mentioned specifically in Nectar of Devotion in as many words, but Prabhupada does say this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 2, unfortunately we don't say which verse, but somewhere in chapter 2 of the Madhya Lila, Prabhupada translates actually the specific verse, which is like this definitive verse. You find for each of these 33 that the description that Prabhupada gives begins with a definition. That when a person feels like such and such and such and such, this is called disappointment or whatever it may be. So that's a translation of a verse. So Prabhupada translates that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 2 somewhere, and there he lists out these four. Mahadukha, great distress. Viprayoga, separation. Irsha, jealousy. And sadviveka, recognizing that you failed to do your duty, or admitting that you did something wrong. So examples are there. Yes, separation. Separation, let's see. Subal feels there's no sweetness in Vrindavan. Where's this? Oh, down the bottom. Well, actually, the one at the top. When Krishna, in punishing the Kaliya serpent, appeared to have drowned himself in the poisonous water of the Yamuna, Prabhupada says at the end of that paragraph, this is an instance of severe shock. Or in other words, mahadukha. Mahadukha is a very sort of expressive term. Great distress. So she was in, or he, in fact, Nanda Maharaj, was feeling so bad that he thought, let's just commit suicide. It's too much. Became so disappointed. So, of course, this is all in terms of the Stai Bhava, the parental affection. Without our son, there's no point living. And it embellishes, you could say. It's an embellishment on this parental mood. Then, Subal, in the following paragraph, Subal felt that if there's no Krishna in Vrindavan, then why bother staying in Vrindavan? He was so disappointed. Radharani, in the next paragraph, says seems that one, the one before of Subal and this one of Radharani, seem to be in the context of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Anyway, separation at least. If I can't hear about Krishna, I might as well be deaf. If I can't see him, I might as well be blind. So this is disappointment in separation from Krishna. Then the others are there. And let's go on and have a look at lamentation. There's a definition. When one is unsuccessful in achieving his desired goal of life, when one finds no fulfillment in his present occupation, when one finds himself in reversed conditions, and when one feels guilt, at such a time one is said to be in a state of lamentation. So then one becomes questioning, thoughtful, tearful, regretful, and heavy-breathed. So, there's some mixing of bhavas going on there, which is, you know, very, very common. Heavy-breathed. Where did that come in? Heavy breathing. That's an anubhava. Do you remember the example? Lalita. What was she like? She was compared to some, an example was given. Yes, the chakori bird or chataki bird, who's only attached to the clouds. So she was so attached to Krishna that when she'd see him, she'd just, you know, he was such a powerful vibhava that her initial immediate response was so powerful, heavy breathing. Krishna had already passed before she could get herself together enough to do something towards Krishna other than just breathe. So here there's mentioning that this may happen. Some mixing of these bhavas may be there. Tearful, one may cry. Where did we come across that? Crying. Well, that was yesterday. That's a sattvika bhava. Of course, we didn't go through them in detail. If we'd had time, I guess we should have. So, there's a number of bhavas there. Oh, and his bodily color changes. What's that? That's a sattvika bhava. Yes. Okay. So, lamentation. There are different reasons for lamenting given. Not achieving your desired goal of life. So one old devotee lamented, "Now I'm just too old, my body's falling to pieces, and I should have got it together before. Now I'm too old to really get into devotional service and to really appreciate Krishna. I wish I'd started younger." Can any of you think of any particularly good examples of devotees lamenting like this for not reaching the goal of life? Yes? Tia Kadamba. Oh, that one. Okay. I don't know how many of you were there the other day, Saturday, on the parikrama, but Dina Bandhu Prabhu was telling us about one devotee who had been maintaining that place for quite some time, but he thought he wasn't making progress, and now he was old. So he thought, "I'm going to just leave this place and go to Vausana. Maybe then I'll get Radharani's mercy." So he was lamenting that he hadn't made progress. Now there's another more specific, and it's very Shastric, example that I can think of. Yes. Madhavendra Puri. that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he was in the process of leaving his body. At least it was a matter of days, really. And so he could see that. So he was lamenting. Any of you know that famous prayer of Madhavendra Puri's in lamentation? No. Ai dina dayadranath hai maturanatha kadava lokrise. Something, something. Any of you remember the rest of it? Anyway, it finishes up. Kim karom yaham. Oh, I just can't remember. So, oh my Lord, oh most merciful Lord, oh Master of Mathura. He's basically saying, Hridayam tva daloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karom yaham. Yes. That, you know, I forget the exact wording, but Ai dina dayadranath hai, O my Lord, most merciful Lord of the fallen, Maturanatha, Lord of Mathura. It's basically in the mood of Radharani that now I haven't achieved you. Where have you gone? Dayata brahmyati. Now I'm confused in separation from you. And kim karom yaham. Now I'm in this condition. What shall I do? What can I do? So he was lamenting that, oh, I never achieved Mathura. Oh, I failed. I failed to get the mercy of Krishna. And now it's the end of my life. And Ishvara Puri was personally serving him very humbly, and even with his own hands cleaning up his stool and urine and doing whatever, anything that was required. And always just chanting Hare Krishna or reciting some bhajan, some verses, just helping create a wonderful transcendental atmosphere. So he got a lot of mercy for serving Madhavendra Puri like that. But Madhavendra Puri himself was lamenting like mad. So then Ramachandra Puri came along. You probably heard of him. Famous case. And he thought, yes, I must also serve my spiritual master at this important time. So he thought, I will serve him by preaching to him. So he said, look, you know, why are you getting so emotional like this? You know, you should be more steady-minded at this time of death. You should just fix your mind on the spiritual platform. Fix your mind on Brahman. So Madhavendra Puri told him, you just get out. Just go away. If I see you when I die, I don't know where I'll go. So as a result of serving Madhavendra Puri so nicely, Ishvara Puri got to be the Lord, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And for being such a nonsense, Ramachandra Puri got to offend Lord Chaitanya and became basically a Mayavadi. Of course, there's a special secret there behind the scenes, that Ramachandra Puri is an incarnation of Jatila. So there's more to it than meets the eye. Yeah. But at least, you know, in just the obviously apparent circumstances, Ramachandra Puri really went downhill. So Madhavendra Puri, we were saying, he lamented. It was sort of like a sanchari condition, not just vyabhichari, but there was the element of sanchari there. He was really in this mood of lamenting and lamenting, just as he was coming up to the time of death. But of course, it was very beautiful, pure Krishna consciousness. Lamentation due to not fulfilling one's duties. So, that's in the next paragraph on page 235. Yeah. One devotee was dreaming of he had already collected flowers. He was just going to make a garland, but then he woke up and he lamented. It would be nice to have dreams like that regularly. Well, Prabhupada said, if you read I don't know if it was a chapter or not, but if you read Krishna book before you take rest, then you'll dream of Krishna at night. At least this is what I was told when I joined. So, he was dreaming a Krishna conscious dream, and then he woke up. Then, now, it says in the basic definition, if there are reversed conditions, something goes wrong, then lamentation may arise. So, the example is Nanda Maharaj seeing Krishna in the wrestling arena. And he thinks that, oh no, he laments, why didn't I lock him up at home? Bolt the door. Unfortunately, I let him come to Mathura. Now he has to face this Kuvalya Pida. It's just a disaster. Reversed conditions. Lamenting. Anyone else? Can anyone think of another situation? Lamenting due to reversed conditions. Yeah? In number, actually. There's a whole lot of songs he wrote about his experiences as a young... Well, he sort of analyzes his life. That I spent so many years at school, and then I went, you know, to university or whatever, and I studied so hard, and in the end, I came out a donkey. This is what he says. Oh, I see. And Queen Kunti laments. Yeah. Well, you know, in a sense, Bhagavad Gita is based on Arjuna's lamentation. Reversed conditions. Oh my God, look at what we have on the battlefield. Oh no, it's a disaster. The mouth becomes dry. One becomes tearful, so on and so forth. I think that's basically what happened to Arjuna. Let's go on to humility. Interesting definition of humility, actually. A sense of weakness caused by distress, fear, or offensiveness is called humility. In such a humble condition, one becomes talkative, small in heart, dirty in mind, full of anxiety and inactive. Shoo! These must be like real, like special ecstatic conditions. Dirty in mind, I don't know quite what that means exactly. But let's just have a look here and see some of the examples. Muchukunda, at the top of the following page, 236 in Nectar of Devotion, he is feeling so embarrassed. Oh my Lord, what a fool. What have I done? What am I? In the past, I suffered so much, but still my senses keep pushing me. But now I've taken shelter of you. Everything's very nice, and I'm feeling very humble because what he went through in his material life and how Krishna's been so kind to him. Then, an example of humility through fear. Uttara. Humbly appealing to Krishna to save Maharaj Parikshit. Oh, down the bottom, humility due to shyness. Doesn't mention it in the definition, but that's okay. Shyness, the gopis, when Krishna stole their clothes, they very humbly approached him and told him how nice he was. Either they were right-wing gopis, or they were really just, you know, those special circumstances threw them into not quite the normal type of consciousness, particularly if someone like Lalita was there. Otherwise, they would be chastising him, you rascal, you stole, but not under these circumstances. So they have to be very nice, extremely nice. Please return our clothes. Then I guess we can look at guilt. When a person blames himself for committing an inappropriate action, his feeling is called guilt. So, very nice example of Radharani churning butter, a yogurt, into butter. And she was chanting and chanting. And suddenly she looked around and maybe she saw people were looking at her. And then she suddenly felt guilty. They'll understand my consciousness. Understand I'm attached. Oh, my mother-in-law is there. Jatila is there. And sister-in-law, Kutila, is there. Dangerous situation. All right. So, then there are the others, so many others. Maybe I could just mention one other. It's because it's an Abbas one. And tomorrow we'll be talking about Vyabhichari Abbas, amongst other things. So on page 243 of Nectar of Devotion, it's the third paragraph, and it's under intense emotion in the overview book, which is pages 51 and 52. So, intense emotion, that's like quite an outstanding Vyabhichari Bhava. Emotion is caused by something very dear, by something very detestable, by fire, by strong wind, by strong rainfall, by some natural disturbance, by the sight of a big elephant, or by the sight of an enemy. And then examples are given. Now, in this case, right at the end of that paragraph, when there is emotion due to the presence of an enemy, one looks for a fatal weapon and tries to escape, perhaps. So then, let's turn over to page 243, the third paragraph. In the same Lalita Madhava, there's an account of Krishna's kidnapping Rukmini at her royal marriage ceremony. At that time, all of the princes present began to converse among themselves. You can see Prabhupada is expressing it in a very sort of dignified way. I don't think they really conversed. I think they were yelling and screaming at each other and cursing and swearing, saying, "We have our elephants, horses, chariots, bows, arrows, and swords. So why should we be afraid of Krishna?" In other words, they're looking for weapons. "Let's attack him. He's nothing but a lusty cowherd boy. He can't take the princess in this way. Let us all attack him." This is an instance of emotion caused by the presence of enemies. Now, unfortunately, these gentlemen are, on the whole, not devotees. So you don't really get vyabhichari bhavas, ecstasies, enhancing the sthayi bhavas of demons, like Rukmi, for example, who was the leader of these same princes. So this is an example, as we'll see tomorrow, of the type of vyabhichari of a type. There are two types of vyabhichari abhas. Yeah. And one is when it's in an inappropriate person who's just not on the level of bhava. Then it's something indirect. Anyway, we'll look into it tomorrow. It's a little slightly complicated, but interesting subject. How these sentiments sometimes arise in non-devotees, just like the sattvika bhas, those bhavas also sometimes manifest or apparently manifest in non-devotees. So look, I think if you've got the time, I think it would be a good idea to read 29 and 30 if you haven't yet. Because then you'll be more familiar with the details on these vyabhichari bhavas. It's not so much. And it's really nice. So many wonderful examples. Then you'll be fairly clear, reasonably clear about vyabhichari bhavas of all the different types. And then tomorrow we can go into, you know, there are all sorts of special considerations and detailed considerations which come out in chapter 31, which we'll go through tomorrow. So if you have time, you could also try looking through that. It's pretty complicated, actually. I'd say it's probably the most complicated chapter in this whole southern side. But if you read it with your overview book next to you, you should be able to follow it okay. Any comments or questions? Second is separation. It's Vipra Yoga. Vipra Yoga, one word. And which one? Irsha. I with a line over it. R-S with a dot under it. A. Irsha. Jealousy. Four principal causes for becoming disappointed. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ke Jaya.